Rolling. We're back again, guys, with the Lost episode series. Adam Friedland here at the Adam Friedland's Corporate HQ here in Manhattan, New York. We're hard at work on some shit. I know I keep saying that. What does it sound like, guys, when I say that kind of thing?
Exciting.
I'm pretty excited about what's to come. Here is the second installment of our Lost episode series. The guest this time was Julian Casablancas, who... Let's be real, folks. I'm gonna be candid, okay? When I was in high school, and I was reading Spin magazine, I would see pictures of this gentleman who's on the show, that you're about to see, and I don't know if he was gay, but I just wanted to know him. I thought New York City was a place where it was nighttime, 24 hours a day, and everyone was the Strokes. I thought it was that, and I thought it was like Seinfeld. I thought it was a place where Jewish men, Jewish gargoyles, can date 11s, or you could be the Strokes, okay? And I was like, either way, that's the city I want a part of one day when I'm a 37-year-old. It wasn't a gay thought. I never had gay thoughts about this guy. I just thought I wanted to be like him. I just wanted to know him. That album, you guys remember?
Yeah.
What was your favorite song, Thomas?
I don't even remember. It was so good.
What a shit answer. I'm with my staff right now. My troops, as I call them. I've installed one of those buttons under my desk that Matt Lauer had that locks the door. No. Yeah, it's just me here still. I really do think now I can do this. I can do this, guys. This is an episode that was recorded, 27 years ago with Julian Casablancas. There are a couple of fun complications that you will... Guys, this is the second episode of
First
Lost...
First episode with Luca as a Laker.
What?
First episode of Luca as a Laker.
Okay, enough ad-libbing on the other side of the camera.
Intro sketch.
Oh, yeah, the intro sketch.
Oh, okay, yeah. Here's the other thing. This one we actually shot an intro sketch for, this was never aired, but this is another sketch. Kind of a problem that Nick and I kept running into was the sketches that we wrote continuously were the same thing where it's like, well, we don't have anything for the intro this week. So this fell in line with that. You know, we weren't necessarily in love with this. These are Lost episodes, guys. Make of them what you will. I actually think this intro is really funny. I hadn't watched it in about a year and a half, but I think it is pretty funny. So first, we're going to show you the intro. Then we'll be back with a word from our sponsors. And then, please, ladies and gentlemen, enjoy our interview with Julian Casablancas.
Did you see 12 Years a Slave?
No.
You didn't? It's a very tragic movie, but it came out like 10 years ago. And I hadn't seen it. I haven't seen it since it came out in theaters. And not being able to emotionally connect with the memory of seeing the movie, it is kind of very funny as a premise.
Go on.
Well, just think.
What the hell were you thinking?
He's like a doctor or something. He's a violent.
Doing an interview behind my back.
He just gets kidnapped?
I'm sorry.
You're sorry? Sorry isn't gonna cut it. You're gonna have to pay for this. I've decided I want more of the money.
But you're already taking 95% of the money.
Well, I've decided it should be 100%.
Yeah, but what about the work that I do?
The work you do? Your job is to come up with a monologue and write shitty sketches. And this is what you've done to me?
That's maybe the movie I wanted to see. It's a modern day Martin Lawrence being kidnapped by slave catchers that have a time machine. So.
You know, I don't know what's worse. The idea that you could just bullshit your end of the bargain or... Or this attempt to replace me.
I wasn't trying to replace you.
Yeah, well, you couldn't. I could very well be the greatest interviewer of all time. You remember, this is the Adam Friedland Show. It's not the Adam and Nick Show, and it's certainly not Cumtown.
Yeah, I've been trying to write monologue stuff.
Just write me a goddamn monologue.
It's just that the news isn't funny.
It's been over a year since you've written anything. There must be something.
I look and I look and I look.
Well, fucking look harder!
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Let's see, monologue. Monologue jokes, newyorktimes.com. What do
What do we got? Supreme Court, Trump. None of this shit is fucking funny. God damn it. I just wish we lived in a fucking funnier world. Come on. All right. Wait a minute. He shit his pants?
Thank you.
And switching over to entertainment news, fat actor John Goodman has shit himself on the set of his new film. Yeah, I heard it's actually a sequel to The Flintstones, which would explain the yabba dabba doo-doo he took in his pants. All right. In the sports world, a local neo-Nazi has been waiting outside of Citi Field telling passers-by that he could not be more excited for the upcoming baseball season. Yeah, I guess it must be springtime for Hitler.
Thank you.
And lastly, a man has died while on vacation in Saigon after being kicked in the back of the head by a horse. Gee, it sounds like that Charlie horse is a real pain in the neck. All right, we're just having fun. Thank you, guys. Okay, we got a great show for you today. We'll be right back with Julian Casablancas, who's excited. Thank you. Thanks a lot, guys.
That was great. Where'd you get these stories?
No, it was all front page New York Times.
What? No. No.
Yeah, I guess, like a lucky break.
Wait, this is insane. Oprah's tits exploded.
Yeah.
Hopefully the news stays like this. I mean, what? What's wrong? Why do you look like that? Come on, why are you so concerned, man?
I don't know. I mean, it feels bizarre. I mean, it's like somebody's changing reality to make the world funnier just to make the monologue good.
Well, maybe it's God. I mean, maybe someone up there recognizes that we're working really hard over here. We deserve this.
Yeah, see, but that's the thing, is that we're not good people, and we're lazy, and we're untalented.
Well, whoever's watching and helping us out, thank you.
Guys, Prize Picks! That's our sponsor today. Prize Picks is the best place to win real money on sports action with over 10 million members and billions of dollars of awarded winnings. Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. You just pick more or less on at least two players for a shot to win up to 1,000x your cash. Run your game all season long on Prize Picks. You can win up to, that's 1,000 times your money on Prize Picks. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even have to win. They just give you another $50 in a bonus, guys. Prize Picks is your best way to win real money this football season. Guys, we got the big game coming up this Sunday. I, for one, hope the Eagles win so we see a guy lick a poo-poo again. Remember when that happened? Which players are going to go off? Which ones aren't? Make your picks in less than 60 seconds and turn your sports opinions into real money all season long at Prize Picks. Players and stat types you're selecting. Here's what I'm selecting. Travis Kelce for more than blank receiving yards and Mahomes for more than blank passing yards. I think that's a good bet. So guys, download the app today. Use code TAFS to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Once again, that's download the app today and use code TAFS to get $50 off after you download the app today and use code TAFS to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run yo game. Thank you. Our next guest is a legendary American musician. Everyone, please welcome Julian Casablancas. Let's get some energy. You guys are audience.
Welcome, sir.
How you doing?
Pretty good.
Do you think this whole, like, the set and my suit and everything, you think it's like Strokes vibes?
Kind of, now that you mention it, yeah.
Hell yeah. It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Glad I was a positive influence, maybe.
I remember I'd go to Borders bookstore with my grandma and look at Spin magazine and just see pictures of y'all boys and be like, I just can't wait to get pussy one day. These guys are the coolest. So first question, have you ever gotten pussy before? It's so embarrassing. I just wanted to be you. No.
Oh shit. Wow. Wow.
What's it like?
Look at this meticulous preparation.
Don't read it, dude. It's embarrassing.
Damn.
You ever
like serial killer preparation?
Yeah. I was like, his penis, 14 inches. 6'2". Right, what's it like? Okay, so what is that? What are you reading? It's just excerpts from other interviews. Ugh, I don't care.
I didn't even know what it was. Need a cigarette though. This is a cool ashtray.
I remember when the band like first came out, there was like this legend about boarding school, like New York City, blue blood kind of lads. Mm. But you know, you met them in New York, right?
Yeah, Nikolai I was friends with since we were kids. I think one, I got sent to boarding school when I was kind of like a fuck up.
Where is it, Switzerland?
Yeah.
Were there like war criminals kids at that school?
Probably. I mean, I was, you know, I think I was the only kid there without a trust fund, probably. Uh-huh. It was like, it was wild, but I wasn't friends with him, but at the time, Albert had also gone there for like 6 months.
Did Kim Jong-un go to that boarding school?
I don't think so.
I think he went to Switzerland. Oh, I think the old man sent him off to probably your school. You're probably roommates, no?
Oh my God, no, I had a Korean roommate, but no, it wasn't him.
It was probably
him. He listened to End of the Road like 1,500 times.
You hated that?
Oh yeah.
Really?
That's on, yeah.
Apparently Kim Jong-un got addicted to Emmentaler cheese when he was in Switzerland. And he'd have it like sent to North Korea.
Oh, okay.
And he ate so much cheese, it almost killed him. He got gout.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Right? Like, so I was like in adolescence when, you know, your first two albums came out, right? I was like a little boy. But like your contemporaries in that era, it was Korn, you know, or like Limp Bizkit. Sure. Were you at the Grammys with those freaks?
We were at something where we lost.
Who'd you lose to? Korn?
Fuck.
The better man won, let's be honest.
No, it wasn't Korn. I would have bowed down. I mean,
You like Korn?
I wanted to love. I loved a lot about it, but maybe musically sometimes I had problems with it. You know what I mean? I wanted like something.
Yeah, because it sounds like shit.
Hard to.
I like that one song that's like. You know that one? The Korn? Freak on the... Oh, wah-ah-ah-ah is good.
Okay.
Whenever I hear that music, I think of a guy in Afghanistan. Like...
Sure.
During the war, you know. It's post 9/11. He's listening to... There is that clip of that guy being like, I listen to Let the Bodies Hit the Floor while I'm in Kabul. It's kind of a nightmare, no?
What, the war or the music?
The juxtaposition.
The juxtaposition makes sense to me.
Because lads like me were listening.
You're like upset, you know, sometimes you just want.
So you're pro Iraq war?
Defending freedom at all costs. No.
That was a crap war, in my opinion.
Okay. That's not a controversial.
I just want to make it clear. Colin Powell shouldn't have lied at the UN.
Said that in...
A lot of people aren't willing to say this, but they, you know, where were the weapons of mass destruction?
I mean, if you said that in 2003, you'd get, like, fired from the New York Times and stuff. Yeah. But now it's fine.
Yeah, now they're defending other...
There's a new lie to defend.
Yeah. What's your favorite war?
My favorite?
Yeah.
My favorite war, I think World War II
fire
is not like the study of it, but yeah, just at least from the American perspective, it was like, you know, we tried to stay out of it and then eventually I feel like people thought, you know, the world was going to be taken over by the Nazis or, you know, America, California was going to be invaded by Japan. So that was at least understandable.
Yeah.
And then of course it built a war machine that...
U.S. Civil. So sick. What side would you have been on? You're a pretty progressive guy in politics.
I would like to pretend to care about the truth. I don't know whatever that means.
But you're not. You're pretending. You don't care.
No. I just.
You're a nihilist.
I don't want to sound arrogant. But yeah, truth is important, and I think rarely kind of in the lens, in the mainstream view.
When you guys play that thing for Bernie, did you meet him? You met the man?
Briefly. He was pretty, didn't seem like he really knew or cared, which is fine.
What do you think he listens to?
Whoa.
Woolly Bully, probably.
He seems like the kind of guy who doesn't listen to music.
It's too much noise. What's this noise with the, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
No, he probably likes like, he went to college in the 60s. He probably likes like just finger popping style doo-wop, no?
Finger popping?
Sorry, you know, like you go to Lover's Lane and try to finger pop to it.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't know. Still what you're saying.
And then he kissed me.
Fingering music, I don't know what that is.
I finger pop to the Stroke.
Finger pop.
Jewish summer camp.
Okay. Wow.
Well, what? It's better than let the bodies hit the floor in Afghanistan.
Is it?
Yes. Yes, that's love.
That's arguable.
Between two ugly teenagers, that's love.
Okay.
It's arguable. What are you talking about?
Well,
clearing out a village in fucking Tora Bora or whatever?
One made me nauseous and one didn't.
When did you swipe your view? Like 12, probably.
Jesus.
You're probably one of those cool NYC kids.
No, I'm not.
You guys grow up quick, you know?
I was a late bloomer, I think.
Everyone I know that grows up in the city is like, oh, I had my Coke phase at 11. I'm over it.
No, it was later.
Yeah, me too. You were like punk as a kid?
I mean, sure, still.
Still?
Yeah.
What's your favorite?
My favorite punk band?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's I mean,
TV party tonight. We're gonna have a TV party tonight. All right.
Yeah, I think probably I would say, I mean, in a way, oh man, just the evolution of punk is actually pretty strange.
Yoko.
Yeah, Yoko.
She kind of invented low key. She's kind of the first punk, no?
I don't know about that, man.
Why not?
I can't with Yoko.
You don't like her? Kind of that, when she was going,
Exactly, yeah, that's a problem.
That's kind of bad attitude punk style, no?
Okay, maybe.
You know?
Yeah, my favorite punk artist, Yoko.
This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Have better sex with Blue Chew. Blue Chew is the original brand offering chewable tablets. These erection-enhancing tablets help men achieve a stronger, harder, and longer lasting erection for sexual activity. For sexual activity. That's funny. Guys, we've read these a million times and I still find fun parts. Okay guys, this episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Have better sex with Blue Chew. Blue Chew is the original brand offering chewable tablets. These erection enhancing tablets help men achieve stronger, harder, and longer lasting erections for sexual activities. Blue Chew is putting its money where its mouth is and offering you a free month. The process is simple. You sign up at BlueChew.com with one of their licensed medical providers. You'll receive your prescription within days. They come in their tablets that are made in the USA, prepared and shipped directly to your door. Best time you could take them. You could take them any time, day or night, so you can plan ahead and be ready whenever the opportunity arises. The best part is all done online. That means no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And you can find love again, guys. Okay? You'll be mistaken for a soldier with that full salute. Elon shooting you to Mars with that pocket rocket. You guys get the deal. Guys, go to BlueChew.com and try your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information, and we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast. Guys, basically all you got to do is pay the $5 shipping. BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it.
I think a lot of people used to think that we were trying to do 70s punk, but I think it was just the coincidence that, like, 70s bands and me were trying to copy Velvet Underground.
You were Velvet's kid? That was your band?
That was probably one of the first bands that I kind of got into.
Really? Did you meet Lou?
I did, yeah.
Did he say you were cool?
It's funny, because I met him before we were, did anything, and there was a book signing, and we met him, and he was super kind of weird and cryptic and cool, mm-hmm. I thought. And then we met him years later. We did like an interview thing. We did a song with him. We did like Walk on the Wild Side and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he said he was nice.
There's a bad word in that song.
There's a what?
There's a bad word.
The colored girls? It's funny that you bring that up. Well, it's funny because, okay, so we were doing the song, and then he was like, oh, he like didn't say it. And I was like, no one cares. It's fine. It was, it was before Trump, I guess. You know what I mean? It was kind of.
It was when it was cool.
It was just, no, it was just not like, I think we've kind of gone back on the sensitivity meter.
Sure, there was a moral crisis.
There was just a time when, I was just like, it's fine. It's like, who cares? It's a legendary song. Like, no one cares. And he was just like, I think I said it when we did it or something. Mm-hmm. And then fast forward years later, they asked me to do this thing with like Q-Tip. And they literally had like black vocalists doing the background for Wild Side.
Yeah.
And so I had to kind of like face the music thing. I was like, do you guys, like, should I not say this line?
And you learned an important lesson that day.
They said, no, definitely sing it.
Nice. Nice, brother.
Well,
you got the pass.
I mean, I don't know, I was just, I was definitely like, it was like a pretty much like majority black audience too, so it was like, I was like, they told me to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Lou Reed song, I'm just hired to
be here. I didn't write this crap.
Yeah.
Have you blown it with like a hero? Have you like met a big one and just like thought of like, this line is gonna be fire, I'm gonna say this to him?
A little bit, maybe, almost.
Who'd you blow at the worst?
Eddie Vedder, I think, it's just, I was like too much of a fan. I think maybe I've made it up and we're okay again. I like practice being cool the next three times we
meet. It's embarrassing hard. When you meet a guy like that. Kind of like right
it's
now.
Hard.
Anyone else you blew it with, epically?
Kate Moss, Rivers Cuomo.
Did you meet Bowie?
Yeah.
Was he the best?
Oh, I kind of embarrassed myself in front of him too.
What?
Well, I had like a dumb theory, and I was
a punk kid,
and I was probably drunk. I don't know. I asked him if Velvet Goldmine was like about anal sex.
And you bombed.
Yeah,
and he was probably just, so polite. About it. He was such a gentleman.
He's like, no, it was about the London Underground.
Before we were doing the interview, you were saying how you have zero respect for Great Britain.
I did not say that.
You did, and you said you were glad Queen Elizabeth passed away.
Oh my God.
Does it bother you?
You said I love England, and you were like, don't you? And
does it bother you that they sing in an American accent? Why they be doing that? They're all like singing American style.
Yeah.
Just step off, Adele.
Yeah.
Did you ever meet Susan Boyle? What?
No.
I watched that video when I want to cry. She like goes out on that stage, mm-hmm. and everyone's like, ha ha ha, look how nasty this lady is. And they're like, what do you want to do? She's like, I want to be a singer. And they're like, you're too nasty to sing.
Yeah.
And then she just does fucking Les Mis, perfect. Mm. It makes me weep.
Yeah. Oops.
What's wrong, dude? You have a history with her? You forget? I wrote a song.
You wrote a song? Play for me.
Okay. Oh my God. But it's maybe not your style.
Are you gonna pull out like a microphone? What are you?
Oh, here, okay. I have headphones.
Really?
It's just a demo, dude.
Are you joking? What is this a song you wrote?
It's just a demo, dude.
Okay.
I wrote this after my mom died too. All right. Oh my God.
He's not. Fuck. He's crying.
Ginsburg is over.
Dang. That's not bad.
What's he doing?
Where'd he go? Had to kill himself. That was intense. If that's true, I can't. I was like, at first, I was wondering if it was like a joke.
No, it's real.
It's good.
You think?
Oh, yeah.
No, come on.
Well, I was thinking of like, I don't know if the whole thing you were saying was a joke, but
no, it's true.
It worked. It was like I was thinking of your mom, and it was like sad.
Thanks, man. So it's like one of the best songs I've written.
Is it one of the? It's pretty cool, actually. The chords you're playing are kind of what you play the guitar. Obviously.
Not well.
I thought it was cool.
You want to listen again?
For.
It's only 59 seconds.
Okay. At first, I thought maybe you were playing a joke.
It
and
paused
like,
in the middle.
Song.
You didn't even finish it.
It just stopped.
If you didn't even hear the whole thing, bro. You're lying on my ass right now.
You're going to give me an attitude here. I'm being
We're honest. Rock. We're rock, dude. We have attitudes.